Okay, good morning. We are in chapter 27, Perek Kafzayan in Bereshit. We learned last time about the life of Yitzchak, and today we are going into the famous story, thank you, the famous story of the brachot, the blessings that Yitzchak gave to his children, Yaakov and Esav. So, it's the beginning of chapter 27, and the Torah starts with Vayehi ki zaken Yitzchak vatichena enav. It was when Yitzchak was old, and his eyes were very weak, he hardly saw. Vayikra et Esav bno agadol, he called Esav, his older son, and he told him, my son, he said, here I am. He told him, behold, I am old, I don't know when I'm going to die. Please go out to the field and hunt, and bring me delicious food to eat, and I'll eat in order that I will bless you before I die. Very famous. If we look at this psukim, it indicates that Yitzchak wants to give a blessing to Esav. Esav is the older one. Makes sense. First he calls Esav. But then the Torah tells us, what is also very famous, that Rivka heard when Yitzchak spoke to Esav, and Esav left, and then she calls Yaakov, and she tells him, I heard what your father told Esav, and now listen to me, my son, to what I command you. You go and bring me two goats, two sheep, whatever, and I'll prepare them for your father, and you bring it to your father, so he blesses you. Yaakov says, if I'll do it, my father will notice the difference. Esav is hairy. I am smooth, right? Without hair, he'll touch me. He'll see that it's not Esav. And then I'll bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. Ve'veti alai klala ve'lo bracha. Obviously, if he will figure out that I deceived him, he'll bring a curse. I'll bring a curse upon me. So when we look at it, what we see is the following. While Yitzchak wants to give a blessing to Esav, Rivka wants a blessing for Yaakov. And she is going to try to get it in what seems as a deceitful way. And the question is, why does it have to be like this? Yitzchak has two sons, Esav and Yaakov. He'll give a blessing to Esav, and then most probably, he'll give a blessing to Yaakov. What's going on here, right? Why would Rivka feel that she needs to send Yaakov in such a way? So it's clear from the story that what Rivka wants is that the blessing that is designated for Esav will be given to Yaakov. Not a blessing for Esav, and then another blessing for Yaakov, but a blessing for Esav should not be given, right? It should be rather given to Yaakov. And the question is why, right? And more than this, if Rivka feels that Esav should not get the blessing, the obvious thing to do is to talk to Yitzchak. Why does she need to do this, you know, trick, so to speak, in order that Yaakov will get the blessing? And isn't she worried of what Yaakov himself says? Yitzchak will realize, he'll feel I deceived him, and then he'll curse me. So what is the point altogether? Right? Okay, in order to answer these questions, we have first to understand why does Yitzchak want to bench Esav? And Rivka feels, no, it shouldn't go to Esav, it should go to Yaakov. Why do they have a different opinion? Where is it coming from? And why don't they talk to each other? On the simple level, it seems to us, and there are sources that indicate so too, that we all know, that Yitzchak was fooled by Esav, and he thought that Esav is a righteous person. That's what seems to us on the superficial level. And that's why he wanted to give him a blessing, and Rivka felt, no, he's not good, give it to Yaakov. And commentaries will say it also. But in order to understand it fully, we have to learn all commentaries and put them together, and then we'll see that it's not so simple. If we go back to the beginning, the first verse is that it was, and it was when Yitzchak was old and his eyes were weak already. And the question is, why do we start the story with it, that his eyes were weak? It's enough to say Yitzchak was old, so he called the son and told him, before I die, I want to give you a blessing. What's the point of telling us that his eyes were weak? Rashi brings three explanations. We'll bring two today of those three. The first thing that Rashi says is that his eyes became weak because the wives of Esav that he married, that we heard about at the end of last portion, right, were offerings to idols, and there was smoke in the house because they were burning the offerings, and this smoke affected his eyes. Okay? Now, the Torah tells us about this wife also, that they caused anguish to Esav, to Yitzchak and Rivka. So obviously, Yitzchak knew who he's dealing with. A person who chooses wives, who worship idols, and can't prevent them from doing it, and stays with them, obviously, is not a very righteous person. So Yitzchak knew. Let's assume Yitzchak doesn't know. Rivka knows, so she should have come and told him, you know. You don't see, you are old, you are this, you are this, you are at home all day, I'm more out, I see what he does outside, and I'm telling you, this and this and this are the deeds of Esav. You shouldn't give him a blessing. Right? Obviously, he did know, and that's why Rivka did not have to relate the facts to Yitzchak. They both knew. Rashi brings another commentary, very interesting, another idea on this pasuk, explaining why the Torah tells us that his eyes were weak, and that's the third. He says, davar acher, another interpretation, why the Torah tells us that his eyes were weak, is kedei sheitol Yaakov et habrachot, in order that Yaakov will get the blessings. Of course, if Yitzchak would have seen perfectly, so when Yaakov would have come in, he would have known this is Yaakov. His face didn't change, right? And he would have not been able to do whatever he did, right? So this indicates that it's not only that Rivka wanted Yaakov to be blessed, but Hashem wanted it too. And that's another question. Why would Hashem want that the blessing that refers to Esav will be given to Yaakov? The question becomes even stronger when we look to the next chapter. In fact, after the whole story, after Yaakov got his blessing, and then Esav got his blessing, and Esav hates Yaakov, and he wants to kill him, so his parents send him away. When Yaakov sends him away, if you look at Perek Kafret, Posuk Beis, 28:2, the Torah tells us that Yitzchak calls Yaakov, and he blesses him, and he tells him, you shouldn't marry a wife from Canaan, and then he tells him, Kum lech padan Aram. He sends him to the place where Rivka came from, to the house of Betuel, with his grandfather, right? And take a wife from there, from the daughters of Lavan, who is your uncle. And then he tells him in free, Vekel shaka yevarech otcha, and Hashem should bless you. Veyafrecha, I shall multiply you. Veyarbecha, yafrecha, yarbecha, I won't go into the differences, but they are both having to do with numbers. Ve'aita likhal amim, you'll become a big nation. Ve'iten lecha et birkat Avraham, and Hashem should give you the blessing of Avraham to you and to your children after you, so you will inherit the land that you dwell in, that Hashem gave to Abraham. So we see that there is a blessing for Yaakov. Right? So what's the whole problem? He called Esav, he gave him a blessing. Even though Yaakov got the blessing of Esav, Yitzchak has the original blessing for Yaakov. So what's the whole story about? Okay? So it's one of the most complicated stories, obviously, in the Torah. Because it's very hard to understand how Rivka, And even more so, Yaakov, who stands for truth, his attribute is the attribute of truth, will do something like this. So we need to understand what's going on here. So we'll go back to the beginning. Yitzchak is old, his eyes are weak. He calls Esav his older son, and he tells him, my son, and he says, here I am. This is already after the story of selling the rights of being firstborn, and now Yaakov is the older one, right? But commentaries say maybe Yitzchak didn't know about it. So the Torah says, Esav, the older son. And he tells him, I'm old, and I don't know when I'm going to die, so go, hunt, bring me delicious food, and I'll bless you. What's the connection to food? Why do we need here food in order to give him a blessing? When we see, so what we read before, that when he gave a blessing to Yaakov, he didn't ask for food. Okay? It's another indication, says the Sforno, that Yitzchak knows who Esav is. He wants to give him the merit of honoring parents, in order that the blessing will be, you know, will have a vessel, will be able to be fulfilled. So obviously he knows that something is lacking, something is missing. So why does he do it? Says the Orach Chaim something very beautiful. The Orach Chaim says that Yitzchak still hopes that Esav will change his way of acting. He knows how he acts. That's no problem. This is obvious. And obviously, Rivka discussed it with him too. It's not recorded in the Torah, but they are parents. Obviously, they discuss their children, their way of behavior, and what needs to be done in order that we'll be on the right track. Right? So Yitzchak knows the facts. As Rivka knows the facts. But Yitzchak hopes that somewhere inside, Esav has still a good core, and he hopes that by giving him the help of parents, he will turn around. It's like a person has difficulties walking. You can help him by giving him crutches, right? By giving him a wheelchair, so he can be mobile and go from one place to the other. So Yitzchak knows Esav spiritually is crippled. But he hopes he has enough inside that if he will get help, it will initiate a change and he'll become the person he has the potential to become. Now, fine, but why wouldn't he give a blessing this blessing to Yaakov? Because Yitzchak loved Esav while Rivka loved Yaakov. Now that's another very difficult statement, but it's a quotation of the Torah. Now what does it mean? Obviously it doesn't mean that Yitzchak showed Esav more affection and more caring than to Yaakov. Obviously Yitzchak knew that he has to give the two children equally, right, and shows them that he loves both of them. What does it mean he loved Esav and Rivka loved Yaakov? Didn't he see that Yaakov was a holy person, the person who was the holiest of the three avot? Of course he knew, right? When we speak about loving, we don't speak on an emotional level. We speak on a spiritual level. Esav was very similar to Yitzchak in terms of the spiritual potential Hashem gave him, or what he can do with his spiritual potential, better than the spiritual potential he's starting with. They were different in the spiritual potential they are starting from, but they can work along the same lines. The attribute of Yitzchak is the attribute of gvura, of strength, self-discipline. When Yitzchak saw Esav, he saw a person who will have it very, very hard in terms of self-discipline. Esav was ish sadeh, admoni, as we know from the descriptions that we discussed last time, he had tendencies to killing, Chazal say. He nolad bekochav ma'adim, right? He was born at the constellation of Mars, what indicates a tendency to be a killer, and he will have to work very, very hard in order to be a decent human being. Yitzchak loved it, because the attribute of Yitzchak was to go for challenges, to deserve, not to ask for favors, right? And when he saw an opportunity to invest, he was thrilled. And it is a thrilling thing, because this is what we were created for investment. And that's the purpose of all of our existence. So a person who has it difficult, right, that it's difficult for him to be a good person, who will become a good person, will really be a person who deserves. So Yitzhak was very happy with it. And in fact, Esav could have really overcome it and become this person that Yitzhak envisioned. We have an example of a person who did it. David, who is described in the Tanakh the same way, Admoni, right? He had the same tendencies, but he utilized them in the proper way. He sought the words of Hashem, right? So he utilized it in the proper way. Esav could have done it too. But obviously every person has free choice. And he made different choices than David HaMelech, than King David. And he decided to become Esav. The question was, is there still hope to change him at this point or not? Now, then can you say there is no hope? Nobody can say there is no hope. In fact, the Or HaChaim says he might have been successful. And he proves it from another Rashi. Later on, Rashi says that Yaakov was criticized for putting Dinah in a suitcase, in a box, in order to hide her from Esav. He didn't want her to marry Esav, and he's criticized because maybe Dinah had the power to turn him to be a righteous person. So, obviously, there was hope, and obviously, Yitzhak is doing the right thing. But what we have to understand here is that Yitzhak, Esav, Yaakov are not just individuals that we deal with their path that they choose in life, and that we want to bring them as individuals to the materialization of their potential. There is something much greater that is taking place here, and this is the establishment of the Jewish nation that has to take place now. Because humanity cannot go further without it. It has to take place now, and the deciding point came. And now what is on the scale is Esav and Yaakov and their ability to be forefathers of the Jewish people. That's really what the story is. Okay? Can Esav become a father to the Jewish people? Are Yaakov and Esav together going to establish the Jewish nation? Or are we going to have a separation the same way we had by Ishmael and Yitzhak? Now, in potential, Esav can really be part of the Jewish nation. While Ishmael, the mother, Hagar, and he differentiated him essentially from Yitzhak, who had Sarai as a mother, Yaakov and Esav were born to Yitzhak and Rivka, so he has the right source, right? And he can definitely make a choice to be part of it. And this was really the original plan. Yaakov and Esav together established the Jewish nation, even though they are very, very different, and they are intentionally different. Because the Jewish nation has to be able to develop on two levels. A, to develop spiritually and reach the highest level possible for a human being spiritually. But the way to do it was by being in this physical world and by dealing with physicality. Not like angels who are spiritual to start with, because that's the only way to grow. That's the only way that one can have free choice. But originally, the two aspects were supposed to be divided between Yaakov and Esav, like it was later on between Yisachar and Zvulun, when one dedicates himself totally to the learning of Torah and grows in a spiritual way, and the other, Esav, deals with physicality, provides for Yaakov and himself, but does it in the right way and for the right reason. And this together would establish the Jewish nation, and in later generations we would have some people who will be like Yaakov and others who will be like Esav, but they'll work harmoniously together and create the nation that Hashem wants. This was the original intention. And at that point that we are talking now, The facts are known to Rivka and Yitzchak. They know that Esav acts in the wrong way. But while Rivka believes that Esav crossed the red line and is not ready to be a father for the Jewish nation and never will be, Yitzchak feels maybe there is still hope. So when we speak about hope, we don't speak about Esav as an individual. As long as a person is alive, he can change his deeds. We are speaking now about this moment when we have to decide who is going to build the Jewish nation. Will it be Yaakov or will it be Esav? So Rivka says Esav has to be out, and Yitzchak says, let me help him. And then he'll turn on and be part of it. Yes. Right. Now, okay. Rivka knew it. Rivka did not tell it to Yitzchak. That's what commentaries say. So the same reason that Yitzchak did not tell Yaakov, even though Hashem told him, that Yosef is alive. Okay? It's written that Rashi brings it, that Hashem told Yitzchak that Yosef is alive, but he did not relate it to Yaakov. And the reason was because Yaakov and Yitzchak were prophets. So if they are prophets and Hashem wants them to know, the same way he told Yitzchak and Rivka, Yitzchak in the story of Yosef and Rivka in the story of Yaakov and Esav, he can come and tell Yitzchak and Yaakov. If Hashem doesn't, it's an indication he doesn't want them to know. So while Rivka knew, Yitzchak didn't know about it. And that's another detail in what Rashi says, that Hashem made Yitzchak blind because he wanted the blessings to be given to Yaakov. And this raises obviously another question. So if Hashem wants the blessings to go to Yaakov, he should tell Yitzchak, and then he'll know Esav is out, and we don't need the whole story. We'll answer this too, just towards the end of the class. Okay, but it's a very good question. Okay, so let's go further. So now Yitzchak and Rivka have two different opinions about the potential of Esav to become a father to the Jewish people. Being that it's an opinion and not a matter of facts, they see it differently. So by Rivka saying it to Yitzchak, it's not going to help. If she's not going to relate the prophecy, if she just says, I don't believe so, Yitzchak will say, let's try. Let's give him what we can give him, and let's see. Okay? Now, what does he want to give him? Let's see what the blessing is. It was given to Yaakov at the end, right? But what is the blessing? So let's see what he wanted to give him. He tells him the following. It's Pasuk Afchet. Ve'iten lecha Elokim, Hashem should give you, mital ha-shamayim, from the dew of the heavens, u'mishmane ha-aretz, and from the fat of the earth, ve'rov dagan ve'tirosh, and wheat and wine, ya'avdu ha'amim, nations should serve you, ve'ishtachavu lecha le'umim, and nations will bow down to you, Heve gvir le'achecha, you'll be the master of your brothers, and the children of your mother will bow down to you. Whoever curses you will be cursed, and whoever will bless you will be blessed. If you look at the blessing, just superficially at the moment, it's all about physicality. Right? Do, fat, produce, and so on and so on. Power. It's all about physicality. And we understand it now. Because if Esav is supposed to be the one to be in charge of physicality, so hopefully Yitzchak hopes when he'll give him a lot of physicality, he'll have a lot of blessing, he'll be satisfied. Hopefully this will bring him to be turned on. Okay? Rivka knows this is not going to work. Esav is not interested. Obviously, the story of selling the rights of being firstborn and feeling good after it is another indication, right? And Rivka is right. So Rivka feels that this will be a disaster. Because if Esav is not going to be part of the Jewish nation, and he'll get all the physical blessings. What will be with the Jewish people and the physical aspect of serving Hashem, A, and second, the physical means that they need in order to be able to dedicate to spirituality. So, speaking to Yitzhak won't help. He's not ready to hear it. Which father wants to hear his, father, his son is out from building the Jewish nation? Right? So maybe it is incapable of seeing it without prophecy, right? Because he wants to see him in. So words won't help. So she is trying to get the blessings in an indirect way. But what she does is not deceit. Even though, technically speaking, it looks like this. And I want to explain it with an example I gave in other situations, but it's a very extreme example, but it's the way to clarify it, with no relationship to this very story, but just a way to make a point. Let's say at the time of World War II, a Jew runs into a house, runs away from a Nazi who chases him, runs into a house. The Nazi did not see which house he ran into, and he goes from door to door to ask, is the Jew here? And let's say he knocks on the door where the Jew hides, and he asks, did you see a Jew running into your house? Did the Jew came in? And the owner says, yes. Would you define it as a lie? I'm sorry, the owner says no. Would you define it as a lie? Technically speaking, of course. But is this false? Of course, it's truth. It's the right thing to do, to save a Jew from somebody who runs after him to kill him for no reason. Obviously, it's a truthful thing to do, right? And no, nobody with a conscience will do anything different, right? If a person will say, I'll say the truth because I can't lie, and he'll give the Jew in, obviously he did something very, very wrong and very false. So it's not something that has to be taken lightly and be used constantly, right? Only very great people who are sure that they are totally objective and they have no interest in the story can use this heter, this permission under very rare circumstances. Right? But what Rivka did, she did the right thing. She saw, she has prophecy, Yitzhak doesn't have it, the blessings have to go to Yaakov, he needs it in order to bring the world to purpose. Obviously, Hashem did not want him to know who Esav is, so she has to take action. And she has to ensure that Yaakov will go in and he'll take the blessing. So let's see what happens when this takes place. So, of course, Yaakov said, I can't do it. It will be discovered, and my father will curse me. So let's see what Rivka answers. So we are going back to Posuk Yudalet, 14. No, I'm sorry, 13. 13. Vatomer lo imo. So his mother tells him, Alai ki lelatcha bni. The curse will come upon me. Meaning, trust me. I understand what you are saying. But I have a plan. And I command you as a mother, do what I tell you. Okay? Achshma vekoli velech kachli. Now, obviously, if your parent tells you to do something that is against Torah, you have no permission to go ahead and do it. The fact that Yaakov says, okay, I'm going to do so, is an indication that Rivka explained whatever she explained, and Yaakov understands he has to do it. That's the right thing to do, even though technically it looks like a trick, looks like a lie. So he does what she told him, and he comes to his father, verse number 18. And he tells his father, Avi, my father, and he says, here I am. Who are you, my son? What does this indicate right away? Yitzhak is suspicious. Obviously, a father knows the voices of his children. And obviously, the tone of Yaakov is different than the tone of Esav. Let's go further. So Yaakov tells his father, I am Esav, your firstborn. I did as you told me. Please get up, sit, and eat from what I brought you, from what I hunted, so your soul will bless me. And obviously that's a very difficult thing to understand. I am your son, Esav, the older, the firstborn. Rashi is very famous here and very bothersome. Rashi says what Yaakov says is, let's start. Yitzchak asks, who are you, my son? Yaakov answers, I am Esav, your firstborn. Meaning, I am who I am. And by pausing a little bit, he changes it from being understood as I am Esav, your firstborn, to I am whoever I am. Esav is your firstborn. This is very bothersome. If you can use this technique, obviously you can do anything and everything you want. Lie from today till tomorrow, and you said the truth. In order to understand it, I want to tell a story. There was somebody in Jerusalem, and who lives in Jerusalem, and it was at a time where groups of people demonstrated on Shabbos against cars that passed by on Bar Ilan Street. Now, it developed into a very difficult reality where throwing stones took place on Shabbos and the police had to violate Shabbos in order to stop it. And obviously, people did not feel, most of the people did not feel, all the great people and most of the people did not feel that's the way to go. But it's unfortunately, it's a small group that doesn't listen to anybody and they did whatever they did. Okay. There was one person who obviously would not go to participate in it, but at the same time felt very bad about the reality. And he asked the Gerei Rebbe, what should he do about this Chilul Shabbos? So he told him, I'll tell you what to do. When you pass by and you see a car traveling on Shabbos, passing by on Shabbos, you should say to yourself quietly, Shabbos. Meaning, in other words, that's not the way to approach them. But you don't want to be accustomed to Chilul Shabbos and feel that's normal. You have to protest to yourself. You have to feel that's not a reality that should be the way it is. What Rashi says here is how Yaakov handled himself while saying, I am who I am, Esav is your firstborn. To say, I'm Esav, your firstborn, was the truth here. Because if Esav is not becoming part of the Jewish nation, so who is undertaking his job? Yaakov. So in terms of the blessings, in terms of establishing the Jewish nation, I'm Esav, your firstborn. I bought the rights to be firstborn from him for this very reason, that he is not interested in building the Jewish nation and bringing the world to purpose. So I am Esav, your firstborn. But Yaakov did not want to say this statement, even though conceptually it's the truth here, for himself, without telling himself technically that's a problem. I want to be perfect, and that's why I'm saying it to myself. Okay? That's how it is understood. We find the same story by Yael. She killed Sisera. It was not a tzniesdik thing to do, because a woman does not go to war. It's a prohibition. Under the circumstances, she was obligated to do so. So it was not a violation of Torah. But for herself and her modesty, she did not kill him with the sword, what would have been much easier, but she took the yated, the stick that held the tent to the ground, right? And she killed him with it, like telling herself, I'm not a killer. I should remain a woman who is modest, even though in this very one time I have to do what I have to do according to Torah. Okay? So he says, I am Esav, your firstborn. I did what you told me. Now come and eat so I can bless you. Yes? I can't hear. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he represents Esav now in terms of building the Jewish nation. You want Esav to build? It's like saying, I am taking over Esav's job. I am Esav now. I am going to be involved in physicality. That's what he means to say. Esav, the name indicates the essence. What he means to say is now that from now on I won't be just Yaakov who is dedicated to spirituality. I'll be Yaakov and Esav who is dedicated to physicality. I'm taking the essence of Esav too in terms of building of the Jewish nation. Okay? So Yitzhak says, how come you came so quickly? He's still suspicious, obviously. Right? So Yaakov says, Hashem made it happen for me today. Meaning, I found it very quickly. So Yitzhak is still not happy, and he tells him, come close, I'll touch you. And he touches him, and obviously he's hairy because of the clothes that Rivka gave him that were hairy. So he asks him, are you my son Esav or not? We don't hear an answer off the side of Yaakov. And he just comes closer to Yitzhak, he touches him, and he says, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, the very famous statement, but the hands are the hands of Esav. And the Torah tells us he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, right? So there was a confusion here. And he blessed him, and he said, are you my son Esav? And he said, I am. Now he did not say anymore, Esav, Rashi says. Why? Because he said it already. There is no reason to say it again. The moment he gave this understanding to Yitzhak, now he's not lying anymore. He says, I am. So he says, come, give me food, and I'll bless you. And he brings him food and wine. And then he tells him, come close, and I'll kiss you. And he kisses him. And the Torah adds, and he smelled the smell of his clothes, vayarach et reach bgadav, vayevarcheu, and he blessed him, and he said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that Hashem blessed it. And Rashi says that when he came in, when Viv Yaakov was the smell of Gan Eden, and Yitzhak felt it, and that's what he refers to. So we see from the whole conversation that Yitzhak is very suspicious. Another checking, another checking, another checking, another checking. Right? He's not sure. He's very suspicious that this is Yaakov. But at a certain point, he stops checking. And the question is, why? If he's really so suspicious, and he's sure that the Sabbath to get the blessings, he can call somebody. He doesn't see, but he has servants, he has a wife. He can call them and ask, who is it? He doesn't do it. At a certain point, he decides to bless him. And more than this, he gives him the blessings that we read before. And what happens right after Yaakov is out is obviously what was anticipated. Esav comes in, and Esav asks for a blessing. And Yitzhak tells him in Lamed Bet 32, Mi ata, who are you? And he says, Ani bin chav chorcha Esav, I'm your son, your oldest son Esav. So it's written, Yitzhak is very frightened, and he asks, so who brought me food before you came? And then he adds three very bewildering words, Gam baruch iye, and he should be blessed. How come? Won't we anticipate that now, finally, when Yitzhak really knows, he will curse Yaakov? He'll realize what's going on? So obviously, there was some there a turning point. And we have to see what created the turning point. Why is he complete with the fact that he benched Yaakov? More than this, what feeling should Yitzhak have when Esav comes in and he realizes that Esav tricked him? Anger, and what does the Torah say? Fear. So obviously, it's not so simple. So, the turning point was, Vayarach et reach bgadav. He smelled the smell of his clothes. On the simple level, he smelled the smell of his clothes, his Gan Eden. So, he felt, here there is something very positive, but that's not enough. Because that Yaakov is righteous, Yitzhak knew all along. More than this, because Yitzhak and Gan Eden are one, he did not want to give him a blessing. Because you don't give crutches to those who can walk on their own. And being that Yaakov is so righteous and capable of deserving, why should he give him help? It will only work against Yaakov and against the purpose of creation. And that's why Chazal add something very unbelievable. Chazal say, Al tikri bgadav, don't read it, he smelled the smell of his clothes. Read it, bogdav, is traitors. Yitzchak smelled the smell of the traitors who will come out of Yaakov, people who will be disloyal to the Jewish nation, and will come out of Yaakov in future generations. Okay, very interesting. And Chazal bring a few stories of people who were very wicked. Like Yosef Meshita, that when the people who destroyed the temple came to Jerusalem and were about to destroy the temple, they were afraid to go in. Because everybody knew that's a place where Hashem is obvious and his presence is there, and they were afraid that they'd be punished. So they approached Yosef Meshita and they told him, go in and bring out something. And whatever you bring out will be yours. So Yosef Meshita, imagine, they were afraid and he wasn't. What type of a Jew was he, right? So he went in and he took out the menorah. And the menorah was all of gold. It was very expensive, very valuable. But the goyim were not yet happy about it because they were still afraid. So they told him, this is not for the usage of a simple person. That's for royalty. Go in, take out something else. And somehow the very fact that he went in and brought out the menorah struck him, and he realized what he did, and he said, I'm not going a second time. It's enough that I angered Hashem once, I'm not going a second time. And they couldn't convince him, so they started to kill him. You know, they took a sword and cut his neck. And he was screaming, I deserve it, because I angered my God, till he was killed. So that's one story. Chazal bring others. I won't bring the others just because of limitations of time. I just want to make the point of what did Yitzchak see that caused him to bench Yaakov. Why? What's the connection? What do we say? What does it mean when our sages tell us, don't read it his clothes, read it, don't read it bgadav, read bogdav. It's very similar, so edevav. What does it mean? It's not to say that one reading is gone and another one is added. Nobody can change the Torah. When Chazal say something like this, and they say it a few times, it's to tell us there are two meanings here. You have to look deeper. Beged is a piece of garment. It's something external. Right? A trader in Hebrew is also called from the same root, boged, bet, gimel, daled, using the same root. What Yitzchak saw is that there are future generations where children of Yaakov will misbehave, they'll be traitors. But he saw also that it's only external, like a garment. The kernel is few. So if the whole reason for wanting to bench Esav, to bless Esav, and not to bless Yaakov, is because Yaakov doesn't need it. But Esav is in behavior wrong, but his internal kernel is good, and by giving him blessings, he'll turn on. Yitzchak realized Yaakov needs it too. Not Yaakov the man, but his children in future generations. Because there will be people like this, that externally will be behaving in a very wrong way, but through gifts that Hashem will grant them, hopefully they'll turn on and bring themselves and the world to purpose. And that's why when he smelled, when he saw, smell is something that you can see from far, right? To taste, you need to have it in your mouth, right? A smell can come from far away, so it indicates he saw in the future a reality that will necessitate a blessing. And that's why he blessed him. And he understood the message of Rivka and why she did it. And that's why when Esav came in, he said, Gam Baruch Yeh. And what was his feeling? Tremendous fear. Fear because he's the father of Esav. And now he sees that Esav doesn't have a future in the midst of the Jewish people. And that's very frightening for a parent. And that's what he felt, unrelated to what Yaakov did. Now, understanding this, I want now to see what happened after. So what does Esav tell Yitzhak, his father, when he hears what happened here? So verse number 34. Kishmo Esav et divrei aviv, and Esav heard what his father said, ויצעק צעקה גדולה ומרה עד מאוד. He screamed a very bitter cry. And he told his father, give me also a blessing. Now, Esav doesn't change his mind. He is not ready to join the Jewish nation, but the blessing he wants. It's like Bilam said, תמות נפשי מות ישרים ותהיה חריתי כמוהו. He wants to die like a Jew, but he's not ready to live like a Jew. Right? So it's the same story. So, Yitzhak answers, ויאמר, בא אחיך במרמה ויקח ברכתך. Your brother came. במרמה, I'm not translating, the literal translation is in a deceitful way, ויקח ברכתך, and he took your blessing. Rashi explains, במרמה, what literally means in a deceitful way, בחוכמה, with wisdom. Now what's the difference? Doesn't Rashi see that מרמה is מרמה and it's deceitfulness? And he himself explained how Yaakov said, I am who I am, and Esav is your firstborn, right? So what does he say here? When we speak about wisdom in the Torah in general, the Malvim says it in Mishlei, in Proverbs, it means the wisdom of Torah. What means in other words is, yes, it looks like deceit, but that's what the Torah says to do. This was the right thing to do. So, obviously, Esav is very upset, and he says, it's the second time that Yaakov is tricking me. He took my rights of being firstborn. Now, this is called a trick in the Torah, right? Vayeakveini, right? Obviously, that's wisdom too, right? Because it did not belong by Esav. And now he took my blessings. So he tells his father, you don't have a blessing for me too? And that's the question we ask in the very beginning. Later on he says it again. So Yitzhak says, I made him the master. I gave him all his brothers as servants. I gave him wheat and wine. What will I do to you? So doesn't Hashem has enough in this world to give to two nations, to two brothers? What's the problem? And that's really what Esav says. הברכה אחת היא לך אבי? Do you have only one blessing? You can't give me a blessing? And he starts crying, and then Yitzchak gives him a blessing. And when you read a blessing, it seems the same as the previous one. הנה משמני הארץ יהיה מושבך, you'll dwell in a place that will, the land will be very fat, ומטל השמיים מעל, you have the dew of the heavens, על חרבך תחיה, you will live on your fort, ואת אחיך תעבוד, and you'll serve your brother, you'll be subdued to your brother, but there will be times that you'll feel bad. Tarid means you'll feel bad, explains Rashi, because you'll see that Yaakov doesn't deserve the blessings. There will be times that we won't do what we need to do, and we won't deserve the blessings, and this will cause pain to Esav. So, if there is a blessing for Esav too, we could have started in this way. What's going on here? As we said, it's not speaking about two children that a father wants to give blessings to. It's the establishment of the Jewish nation. If Esav is out, the physicality of the Jewish nation must go via Yaakov and not via Esav. We cannot trust Esav that he will be the one to have physicality and that he will deliver it to Yaakov. It won't happen. So it must go via Yaakov, right? So what's about the two blessings? So let's compare them. They are not exactly the same. The first blessing starts with, ויתן לך האלוקים. Hashem should give you. Hashem is not mentioned at all in the blessing that is given later on to Esav. It starts with, משמני הארץ יהיה מושבך. You should have a fat land, but Hashem is not mentioned. Why so? Rashi explains here something very beautifully. He compares it to another situation. To the prayer of Shlomo HaMelech at the time of the inauguration of the temple. He prayed that the non-Jewish people will come to the temple and ask Hashem for whatever request, Hashem should grant them the request. But when a Jew will come to Jerusalem and ask in the temple for something, Hashem should check, does he deserve it or not? If he deserves it, he should give it, and if not, he should not give it. Now, why so? If then the opposite, right? Why so? So the understanding is that the physicality that is given to a Jew is a tool, is a means. It's supposed to connect him to Hashem. When Hashem sees that giving him more physicality will detach him from him, it's better that he won't give it, because for a Jew, the main purpose of life, the desire in life, is to connect to Hashem. But when a non-Jew comes, it's a different story. It's not about a relationship, it's about needs. And his relationship with God, with Hashem, is based on does he have his needs or not. As is famous in the story of when the Mashiach will come and the non-Jewish people will come and say, we deserve reward, we build this, we did this. Hashem will say, okay, let's try you. He'll give them the mitzvah of Sukkah, but he'll make it a very hot day, and then they'll kick and walk away, right? For them, the relationship with God is a relationship with the provider. By us, of course Hashem is the provider, but the relationship is not based on this. The relationship is based on the fact that we appreciate the fact that Hashem wants us as partners with him, that he is giving us the ability to cling to him, to be with him, to be his children, not his servants only, right? So it's a totally different story. So by Esav we don't have Elohim, by Yaakov we have Elohim. But it's more than this. We learn it also from the fact that the blessing starts with the Vav. Ve'iten lecha Elohim. And God will give you. God will give you. You don't start a statement with end. Says Rashi, iten ve'yachazor ve'iten. He'll give and he'll give again. Meaning it won't be, okay, I'll give you all you need and leave me alone. Right? But I'll check. Sometimes I'll give you and then I'll stop and then I'll give you again and then I'll stop and then I'll give you again. It will be a relationship. And the giving will be based on who you are. Okay? By Yaakov, the dew of the heavens comes first and then the fat of the land. By Esav, it's the opposite. Right? So it's very different blessings, even on the physical level. What Yitzchak gave Esav is, okay, have a good life. That's what you want? You want physicality? Get it. By Yaakov, he gave him means to connect to Hashem through them. Right? And it's not about physicality. And that's the reason why Rivka wanted Yaakov to have physicality, because he will do it. Esav will not be interested, and he will not do it. Okay? Now, when we understand this, we can understand why later on, when Yaakov, we stand away, Esav hates him, wants to kill him. As we said, he wants the reward, but not the investment. Right? And if he sees Yaakov as the source of his problems, he wants to kill him, what is always the case, because we are the conscience of others. If Yaakov doesn't go in the right way, so everything is fine with Esav. By the fact that Yaakov goes in the right way, obviously Esav's conscience bothers him, he hates him, he wants to kill him. And then when they send him, let's see what's the blessing that was originally intended for Yaakov, that he gets as well, because that for sure doesn't belong to Esav. So let's see what he tells him. So it's chapter 28, verse number 3. Vekel Shakai and Hashem, and the name of Hashem that is mentioned here is Shakai, the one who who establishes rules in this world, okay? Yevarech otcha, he should bless you and multiply you. You'll be into nations. And he'll give you the blessing of Abraham. That's the key here. Meaning you'll be the heir of Abraham. You'll be the one, he tells Yaakov, to establish the Jewish nation. This was originally meant for Yaakov. That Yaakov is worthy of it, there is no question. And this is given to him. The question was about physicality, right? Who will get physicality and channel it towards the service of Hashem? originally it was supposed to be Esav. But he has free choice. Being that he chose not to be part of it, he could have, like David. And if he would have done it, he might have been on a higher level than Yaakov. Because when you have such a difficult nature, and you overcome it by investing so much, right? So if the investment would have been more than what Yaakov invested in his spiritual growth, it could have been even more than Yaakov. It would have depended on how much effort does Esav put, how much effort does Yaakov put. But the way is open for Esav to invest even more than Yaakov if he wants, right? And then it would have been also part of the broche of Abraham, part of the establishment of the Jewish nation, being that he made the wrong choices. So he's a nation like any other. He will get physical abundance, of course. Every nation gets means of existence, but it's about means of existence. It's not about a relationship. And Yaakov is the only one now establishing the Jewish nation. And Yaakov has now a dual responsibility. A, to study Torah and develop himself spiritually to the utmost, and that's the responsibility of every Jew as well, and at the same time to be able to be in charge of physicality, make a living, do it according to Torah, and take it as an opportunity to connect to Hashem. And that's why every Jew now deals with the two, unless he makes an agreement with another Jew that he'll provide for him, but he's obviously open to every Jew, the possibility of Yisachar and Zvulun. That's why, right after it, in the beginning of Parashat Vayetze, we hear how Yaakov goes to the house of Lavan, and what will he be busy with for 22 years? Being out there on the field, being a shepherd, working very hard to make a living, dealing with the external reality of other people like Lavan, right? Dealing with the deceit of Lavan, having to handle what we call real world, right? Obviously change of term, right? But it is a real world because it's not less of an opportunity to connect to Hashem than the opportunity to sit and study Torah. The question is, how is it done? So Yaakov is now two people. Is Yaakov an Esav? To the extent that it has to do with the Jewish nation, Yaakov is Yaakov an Esav. Esav is an individual. But in terms of the Jewish nation, Yaakov is Yaakov and Esav together. And he has the two responsibilities at the same time. How it plays itself out later on, we'll see, Mirza Hashem, the next class. Last class, there was something that I did not say at the end that will complete the picture, so I want to do it now. Okay? We spoke about why did the whole story of let's do it differently. We explained the whole concept of the broches that sounds so difficult on the superficial level. We said in the beginning that Hashem wanted it too. And we did not explain at the end why did Hashem want it in this particular way. And the reason that is brought in Sforim is that being that Yitzchak gave the blessing to Yaakov while thinking that he was Esav, this enabled Jewish people in all generations to receive a blessing from Hashem even though externally they behave like Esav. So that's why Hashem wanted it in this particular way.